Again, we do welcome you to our service today, and we're grateful that you've decided to be here today. I feel a little bit like we need to do something to kind of lift the energy level today. Maybe we need to finish your nap, or maybe we need to jog in the aisle or set off an air horn or something like that. Would maybe wake us up just a little bit. The bad news is the things that I'm going to say today are really in a lower kind of key. It's not a high energy, a fun type of presentation. It's a little more serious. So the challenge will certainly be there to keep our focus. You may remember, some of you who are older, some of you may have experienced it later on, but in the 1960s there was a book, followed in the 1970s by a movie, and the title of it was I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. And it's basically the story of a psychiatrist and a young woman and the mental process that she goes through and how this mental health professional tries to help her. But one of the key elements, as you would guess, is it's not all good. And if the first time you run into something that's difficult, or the first time you come up against pain, or the first time you suffer, your invitation is to shrink back into your former way of life or your former behavior, you're going to find that to be a pretty difficult and frustrating struggle. I think that this is real appropriate for religion today. It really concerns me that you can read in the media, you can listen to Christian broadcasting, and over again you hear the idea that everything is wonderful if you're a Christian. Just take the step over that line and then life is going to just become so pleasant and everything's just going to be good and you're going to enjoy all these spiritual things. And the hard part about that is there's certainly truth there. The reality is it's something that happens as we use the resources that God gives us, as we grow, mature, and develop. And as we utilize the faith that we built in our life, it doesn't go from A to Z in one quick jump. It's a process. And people get frustrated when the process doesn't fit exactly like they would like for it to fit. An even more concerning element, though, is people who become Christians, people who become believers, they sometimes feel like they failed because it's not a rose garden. I've done something wrong. I've messed up my life. And that isn't true. We have life issues that are difficult. Whether it's a financial issue, whether it's a health issue, whether it's a job-related issue, our relationships are complex, our society is complex. There's so many things that complicate our lives. And if we get into this place where we're saying, well, if there's something negative in my life, it must mean I'm doing something wrong, we can be defeated very, very quickly. The message or the passage I'd like to share with you today from Luke chapter 12 is basically Jesus' version of it's not a rose garden. At Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 49 and going through down through verse 53, Jesus says, I have come to bring fire on the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Jesus isn't talking about peace. He's not talking about mercy. He's talking about the energy that's going to happen as he is going to sacrifice his life. This is going to be fiery. It's going to be difficult. And when he uses the word baptism here, he's talking about something he has to go through. I found only three versions of the New Testament that chose to use immersion here rather than baptism. But that's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about being immersed in this tragedy, this difficulty, this agony and pain that he's going to experience. It has a reason there, but it's sure painful for him to be a part of or him to give with his life. Verse 51, then it gets to the verses that we kind of read and scratch our head about a little bit. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? Yeah. Jesus says, no. I tell you, but division. He's not saying that my point is to bring division. He's saying the reality is what I stand for, what the world stands for, is going to create conflict. And that's going to happen. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And he could have gone on and on with those relationships. He's just trying to illustrate what's going to take place. They're going to be fractured families because of Jesus. Why? Well, think about your own family for just a minute. Are there any schisms in your family because of Christianity? Are there people who don't believe? Are there people who think you are too much of a fanatic? There are people who disagree with you about the principles that you hold, the principles that you live by. I would guess this morning there are very few of us who could say, no, that doesn't happen in any aspect of my family. Our families are complicated. And because of that, we have conflict. We have difficulties that have to be passed through. The impact of Christianity on our relationships is extreme. In our jobs, with our friends. Carry your Bible into a place of business. Put on a hat that reflects the fact that you attend a particular church. Wear a t-shirt that has a scripture. And even if nobody says anything to you, people will be making judgments about you. Some people will be deciding, I don't like that person. I don't want to be around that person. I don't want to be near that person. Any person who's advocating that or putting that out publicly is somebody that I'm going to draw back from. And the minute we become followers of Christ, the minute we step up to be true believers, then we get to a place where other people find conflict with us. And we have to deal with that. The most difficult place, though, is in our close family. And there are people who have difficulties with their mates. And some of that difficulty is because of the way they see Christianity. People who maybe became Christians and their mates haven't. Or people who have really deep, working, mature faith and their mate doesn't. Maybe the mate turns out to be not the person that you thought they were. Or maybe their personality and behavior changed over that time. And it creates great conflict. And it's difficult for us to deal with, difficult for us to go through because of what's going on and what's taking place there. Happens with our children. It can happen with any number of people. And today, if you find yourself in one of those hurting relationships, before you begin to say, well, I must be doing something wrong, go back and look at this passage because Jesus is warning us that this is going to happen. Doesn't happen every year, but many years, about this time, somebody will come to me and say, I don't think I can go home for Christmas this year. And when you talk about that a little bit, the answer or the situation is almost always the same. There are people who are going to be there who are going to espouse certain values and behaviors and prejudices that I don't think it's right for my family to participate with them. I'm afraid of the influence that they're having on my children. I'm afraid of how they're impacting me personally and other people that I care about. And I see people go through that agony of saying, you know, I've got to pull back. I've got to pull back from the people that I love so very much because I'm not sure of what they're doing to my life, my spiritual situation. And those are very hard moments. And Jesus is saying with this passage, that's going to happen. It's just part of the deal. If you go to Luke chapter 14, just a couple chapters over, starting in verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Hate? Boy, that's a tough word. That's a strong word. You're supposed to hate these people? Well, remember that love and hate are being contrasted here. And so he's giving us a contrast between those two ways of looking and dealing with other people. Some versions will say this: you cannot be my disciples unless you love me more than you love your father and mother. And that's softer, and that's easier to take in. It's probably a little easier to understand, but that gets complicated too, because then you're going back to emotion. I've said this in class. I don't know that I've said it from the pulpit or not, but if I haven't, I want to say it many more times. So many of the ways that we love God are manifest through how we love the people in our lives. And when you're having that quandary about, well, do I love God more than I love my mate? Do I love God more than I love my children? And we try to create this list where we put one at number one and another at number two, and that's not possible to do. We serve others. We serve the people that we love. We are God's hands. And so as we have those important relationships and interactions, we're doing that because we love God. And it's impossible to separate those two. And yet when you go back to the passage we were originally talking about, there can be moments in time when those come into conflict. And that's what Jesus is talking about. What do you do in that moment when the people you love are in conflict with your obedience to Christ? That's when you have to be prepared to make a choice. Going on with the passage. So suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, "This person began to build and wasn't able to finish." Before you start something, you count the cost. I mentioned before, we used to drive south to Dallas 25-30 years ago. There was this big, nice home that was about halfway constructed. And for years, you could see it over the side of the road. And I always wondered, you know, what happened in that situation? Somebody started something that wasn't finished. And that's really sad when you see that happen. And Jesus is warning them, don't go down this road if you're not prepared to fulfill it totally and completely. Go back to verse 27. When Jesus says to them, "Whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." When things are bad in our lives, we kind of look up and say, "Why me? What have I done wrong? Why am I in this spot? What is God trying to tell me? Or why is God punishing me? Or why is God treating me this way?" Sometimes when you hear people say what you think is going to be, "Why not?" or "Why me?" they're really saying, and they say out loud, "Why not me?" Why would I be surprised that there's going to be some suffering? Why would I be surprised that there's going to be some negative? Number one, the New Testament is full of that information. This is not a single passage where Jesus is just bringing up kind of an isolated issue over and over again. He's going to refer to this quandary in this situation. In Romans chapter 8, verse 17. "Now if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." And that sounds wonderful. Someday there's going to be a reading of the will. God's will. And there's going to be all these bequests to his only son. And then there's going to be bequests for the rest of us. And guess what? We get the same thing. We get the same inheritance. It seems unbelievable. And truly, it's hard to grasp. But there's a condition on it. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. We're not called to a simple situation. We're not called to a life of ease. We're not called to a moment that's always going to be peaceful. We're called to be warriors. We're called to be soldiers in God's kingdom, and that produces conflict. And it makes things very difficult for us to deal with sometimes. Go to the next verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 18. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that would be revealed in us." When life gets hard, we get back and we say, "This is only temporary. This is something that's only going to exist in this life. This is a challenge to me only at this moment and in this time and in this context. And even if this lasts until the end of my physical life, there is a part of my eternal existence that's not going to experience this at all. Because I belong to Christ. I belong to God. I serve the risen Savior. And because I do, I have this eternal promise. And this negative bad that's in my life right now is not always going to be there. It's going to be done away. Christian life is not without difficulty. Few there be that find it, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. And sometimes when we think about Christianity, it's so much more fun to talk about all the positives. It's so much more interesting to deal with all the possibilities. We're so inspired by hearing about the good things that happen and the good promises that are there. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as we don't forget about the reality of the suffering and the negative as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. I want to ask for a show of hands how many people feel what's taking place or being described there in verse 16. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, the unseen is eternal. You may remember Peter and John when they heal the man, and the Sanhedrin becomes so angry with them, and it tells them not to talk about Jesus anymore. They call them back in, and this time they're flogged, they're beaten. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 41, it says that they went away rejoicing that they were able to suffer disgrace for the name. They were proud of the fact that they had held the line. They were proud of the fact they stood up. And they were proud of the fact that they had done what they were supposed to do, even to the point where they were punished and abused and mistreated. I hope that we won't lose heart. I hope in those challenging moments we can understand what's taking place. And we do recognize the reality that our troubles are here for a brief period of time. There is a time and a place when they won't be there anymore. And as the passage we just got through reading talks about, it's eyesight. Just because we can see this problem doesn't mean it's permanent. And the fact that we can't see some things that were promised certainly doesn't mean that they aren't real. This morning the challenge is to accept Jesus at his word, to follow him in spite of the difficult things that emerge because of our cross that we take into our lives. This morning we'll offer an invitation as we always do. The invitation is intended to be an opportunity for anybody who has a public need to be expressed. You may need some assistance in overcoming some issues in your life. You may want some help with accountability. You may want to be baptized into Christ. Whatever we can help you with this morning, we'd be glad to do. But you may also find yourself in a situation where you need to work out things on a private basis, maybe with an individual or maybe specifically with your God. And we encourage you to do that as well. If you have something public, please let us know while we sing this song together.